DrawnByJohn.com presents We Got the Geeks comic panel.
Walloping web snappers, it's time for another comic book panel. Sitting here with me tonight is my lovely co-host, K-Stu.
Hello.
And this week, returning to the panel, we have the uncanny Superior Hunter.
Yes, we must be talking about Spider-Man this week if I'm
maybe.
Here.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
It's been a while. Kath and I have been holding the torch.
Holding
the
down
last
the fort.
I was going to say, you guys have put out some really nice shows recently. I've listened to quite a few of them. And the interviews that you've all had going up have been fantastic.
So. Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
I swear, looking through iTunes the one day and looking at the show lists, one of them had a little black bar for popularity.
Really?
So,
thanks for listening to that 1,000.
Yeah. I'm just going to every computer at work and downloading it. Troubleshooting. All right, I'm going to need you to go to iTunes, and just to test that it's working, can you go to this podcast and download it for me?
There you go.
Nice.
I like it.
Well, thank you. And it's nice to see you're keeping up with your Jimmy Olsen duties on the website.
Yeah, I try.
So you posted something I want to get your opinion on. First of all, do we need two movies with Quicksilver?
It's our bridge. What are you talking about? We totally need two movies with Quicksilver. Because he's not going to be a full character in either of them.
Seriously, though. 2 months ago, I wouldn't have said Quicksilver for anything.
I'm wondering if they give him a time treadmill and that's how they're going to send back Wolverine to the past. I don't know.
Isn't it sad that he's going to be in two movies before the Flash gets to be in one?
Yeah, kind of.
Quicksilver.
No, because that's going to be the best part. Because then in a couple of years when the Flash gets his own movie, everybody will just be like, so he's just like Quicksilver from that Avengers 2? Ugh. Couldn't they come up with somebody original?
It's true. That's the scary thing.
Well, it was like all those people that were commenting on, like, the Hobbit trailer when it first came out. And they're like, oh my god, this is such a ripoff of Lord of the Rings. They even got the same guy to play the wizard. Like,
oh, jeez.
Quicksilver. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch both had a big part of a lot of the Avengers.
Oh, I get that.
Backstory.
I mean,
and
I remember they were the team when everybody quit in issue 16 and Cap was the leader and they brought Hawkeye in as well.
So, you know, the best part is going to be if they bring Quicksilver in and if he's from the future, then you get that awkward conversation with Ian McKellen of, so you had kids when you were like 70?
I mean, at least the Scarlet Witch is an interesting character, but Quicksilver, with his gray suit and white hair.
Gray and blue lightning bolt suit, sir.
Well, yeah.
No, because if you think about it, he also married one of the Inhumans.
He did.
So there's your bridge into Fantastic Four. Quicksilver is our continuity of all the Marvel movies that we wanted.
Why?
Because that's all we've got.
Oh, Quicksilver. All right. I just wanted your opinion.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's terrible, but He's going to be the thing that ties it all together. No, I just get the feeling that they're, like, if they do put him in both, I get the feeling that he's going to get called something like Pietro the entire Days of Future Past movie, because I bet you they don't call him Quicksilver in...
Quicksilver is one of those characters that's a gray area. Like, Marvel or Fox can use him, but if Marvel uses him, they can't call him a mutant, and they can't refer Magneto as his father.
Yeah. Well, you just do something like, oh, he's the son of, like, an international terrorist.
Yeah, they could
just say something like, did you hear about the Statue of Liberty incident of, like, 2001?
Like, yeah. True. He was in the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, though, Kath.
Oh.
With Toad.
Okay.
And the Blob. All right. Cool. Did you know that June the 14th. Well, you knew June 14th, The Man of Steel was coming out.
Yes.
June 12th, DC has announced that in all the comic book stores across the land, it's officially The Man of Steel Day.
So is it like Fear itself, where in Marvel everybody got a hammer for Thor's release, everybody's getting Superman powers for Superman's release?
No, but they are handing out a special edition of All-Star Superman for free in all the stores.
Oh, is that the one where Superman found out he was dying and then, like...
Yeah, the Grant Morrison series.
Yeah, no, good one. I watched that movie not too long ago, so...
And on that day, the first issue of Unchained, Superman Unchained, is out by Jim Lee and Scott Snyder.
So, Superman Unchained, Black Superman in post-Civil War era, going around trying to find his girlfriend?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty close, right. Pretty close. I will say that...
All right, Clark, that's my slave name. I'm Kal-El.
The K is silent.
The D is silent.
I will say I'm actually excited about Superman series, because I recently gave up reading Action Comics for the first time in 25 years.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, the reboot, man.
Well, speaking of Man of Steel, have you seen all these, like, how does Superman shave videos?
I've heard about it. I know Kevin Smith did one.
Kevin Smith did one. His idea was dumb.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I thought it was stupid. Bill Nye did one, though. Bill Nye's was kind of cool. Kevin Smith's was basically like, oh, Superman tears chunks off of the rocket that he landed in as a baby and uses those to shave, because... It's Kryptonian technology, and Kryptonian technology can work on Krypton.
There was a comic a while ago where it showed him shaving. He did take part of the spaceship, and he, I guess, made it into a mirror.
Yeah, well, that was the thing that I had seen, was he uses a mirror, and he just, like, laser vision.
Yeah, with his heat vision, like, yeah.
Bill Nye's was basically, he grinds it down. Because you can have examples in real-world science of, like, a hard material being used to grind down another hard material. So
right.
His idea was, well, it's entirely possible that even if his hair is super strong, that there's a material out there that he can use to just grind it down. So he's not actually shaving it off, he's just...
Yeah.
I thought that was neat. I thought that was a neat, like, scientific act.
Well, he's going to have to do something. He has that hobo beard in the new movie.
Yes! Maybe he just, like, wills it out, like, did, like...
Oh, man.
Kryptonian electrolysis. Where, like, his parents sent in the rocket everything that he knew he'd need for, like, the rest of his life. So, like, there's, like, a little, care package, like, open when you hit Kryptonian puberty. And then, like, open when you hit Kryptonian 40. There's, like, a Kryptonian prostate exam kit. Like, his parents had that much forethought to give him everything he'd need for his entire life.
Oh, my.
The faces Kath is making right now.
Like, one of the robots in the Fortress of Solitude capable of administering a Kryptonian hernia test. Like...
Oh. Oh, man.
Just ruined the mystique of Superman.
Yeah, he did, actually.
A little bit.
That's all right. While we're on the topic of Superman, I was reading about a guy by the name of David Gonzalez who found a copy of Action Comics number 1.
In his wall!
In his wall, between two newspapers, insulating his home.
Yeah.
So it would have been worth millions, except he showed the comic to his aunt, who grabbed the comic and ended up tearing the back cover.
I would punch her in the face.
Yeah, but he took it out of its original wall, so it already lost some of its value.
Well, it's still worth about $127,000 because that comic's so rare. Yeah, but it would have been worth millions. And yeah, I'd be punching the ant too, probably.
I'd be like, so I'm going to need you to pony up that other 800 grand.
Yeah.
I'll take it in installments, that's fine. We'll treat it like a lottery win. You give me
how
a couple
thousand.
How much
am I getting in your will?
Yeah.
Imagine though, it was in the
you
guy's...
You mean all of it, right?
I don't want to up that.
It was in the guy's wall, though.
Well, when my sister redid... Like, my sister bought my parents' house and then redid some of the flooring. And there was flooring between, like, the kitchen and the dining room. And where the hardwood met, they didn't fill it with more hardwood.
Oh, God.
It was newspaper.
Well, I'm just imagining, like, how did you find this? Like, were you, like, actually, like, tearing out this wall?
I'm figuring he's probably doing some sort of, like, renovation.
Well, I mean, the odds are, like, I mean, like, he could have just been taking off the wall to replace wiring.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, like, what if you're one of those people, like, oh, I want to expand the living room, like, let's cut out this wall. And imagine, like, you were another foot to the left or something and you cut through the wall. And then find out what it was worth.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
See, now it makes me, when I get my own house, to just do, like, a dick move when I do my own renovations and put, like, a, like, Rob Liefeld Youngbloods number one hollow foil into the wall. Like, somebody, like, years from now, oh my god, I found a comic in the wall! It's gotta be worth 25 cents, huh?
He's a terrible artist, by the way, in case you didn't know.
I know when they came into our house to do, like, just a...
Oh, the attic in Diana's room.
Yeah, they were redoing the insulation or something. And they found old an old phone book up there.
From 1980. Because I looked up my old phone number.
Yeah, because what else do you do with a phone book from the 80s? Look up your own phone number.
Oh, man, you could have had, like, a frequency thing and, like, phoned Randy or Dennis Quaid in the past.
Or Randy Quaid.
No, nobody wants to call Randy Quaid.
Not even Randy Quaid.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, now I just want to throw random wacky stuff in my walls just
Archie
for people to
bleed.
Find. There you go. Or you, like, build or get somebody, like, cast, like, the scepter from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh. And, like, put that in your wall with, like, a map and have it lead them to...
Okay, now I just want to, like, go to Pulp Comics tomorrow and be like, how much for the Han Solo and Carbonite? And then hide that somewhere in the house when you move.
Oh, my God.
We found Han Solo!
Okay. And I put it in the floor?
Now I'm just being ridiculous.
Well, because I had seen something else online of, like, somebody that was redoing their carpet, and they're like, I'm leaving a treat for the next people that redo the carpet, and, like, underneath the carpet on the wood flooring, in, like, red paint to look like blood, it's like, help me.
Yeah.
With, like, the stain going to the vent.
Yeah.
I'm like, that looks awesome.
Feel bad for the people who like.
Or you put like a chalk.
Because I'm gonna do all.
Put like
this.
A chalk outline and like a red stain there. Like,
oh, that's terrible. Oh well, I have some sad news for Kath. Vibe's getting a new artist with issue number 6. Pete Woods is leaving. He's quitting.
It's not sad for me. I'm not reading Vibe.
I'm just
you
kidding.
Are.
I know.
You are.
You just bring up Vibe at every interview we go to now. It's hilarious.
Because I've heard you rave about it, so I want to hear if everybody else is or if it's just a Jay thing.
It's just a Jay thing.
I was going to say, I've never heard of Vibe. I'm sorry.
Vibe in the 80s was this character who was in what was known as the Justice League Detroit. The Justice League got involved in some war with Mars. And the core members didn't show up for it, like Green Lantern, Superman, Flash, and Wonder Woman were off-planet somewhere.
So who was left? RoboCop?
Well, they had, like, the Hawkman and Hawkgirl, the Atom, Green Arrow, all those people, Zatanna, and Aquaman. At the end of this, Aquaman...
Of course, because Great Lakes Aquaman is, like,
yeah.
I'm king of Lake Erie.
Well, Aquaman was pissed, and since he was the only founding member there... So after this war, he disbanded the Justice League and said, we're going to be a down-to-earth team now. We're going to have our headquarters on Earth. Only two or three guys stayed with him. Zatanna and I don't even remember. It was terrible. But they go to Detroit. They have a headquarters in Detroit, and they find some local superheroes there, one of them being a guy named Vibe. Who was pretty much a breakdancer in a yellow costume.
Oh, okay, yes, I remember this guy now, yes.
And he died within the year,
and they just started bringing him back now.
Yeah, as a serious character, which
makes
me laugh.
I remember hearing about this and crying.
And crying.
Well, I mean, hey, we got Cardiac back. He did okay in Marvel.
Yeah.
Let's bring back a breakdance.
Well, they left out the breakdancing this time, obviously. And
that's
the yellow
like bringing
costumes.
Dazzler back and not having the disco.
That's true. That's true.
I love heroes that are so tied to a time.
Yeah.
That, like, as soon as you try and bring them, like... Oh, man. Like just imagine, like, 1920s. Like, I'm... 1920s flapper dress girl. Like, I'm not in any way, shape, or form relevant now.
You're right. What is the vibe? All right, how about we take a break?
Let's give Vibe a score, because I want you to be a vibrator.
That just happened.
See what you did there, sir.
No.
He's not breakdancing anymore.
So, one.
He's with the new Justice League of America.
So it's zero.
All right, then. Take a break. I got a top 10 list, and then we're going to get into some comic book reviews, and it'll be good. So stick around. Even Kat's reading tonight.
Yep.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Face front, true believers. John Bulmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3x5 inches to 11x17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Bulmer.
All right, we are back here on the comic panel, and again, welcome back to the program, our good friend Hunter.
Thank you for having me back.
Thank you for being on. So from time to time, I like to look up top 10 lists, courtesy of newsarama.com. This week they did their top 10 Marvel characters who are currently not in a film yet.
Okay.
We'll see if you agree with any of
them. Well, I was going to say, this is my typical, I got to try and guess
okay,
the list,
see
right?
See if you can guess some.
So top 10 Marvel characters that aren't, that haven't been in a film at all?
Yeah, whether it's Marvel, Fox, Sony.
Ooh, okay. Wow, that is harder than you think it is, because I'm trying to think.
They've used a lot of the major ones
they've
already.
They've used a lot of characters, so I'm just trying to go through, like, X-Men.
There's one on this list I'm surprised isn't on the list, actually.
Okay, so, I mean, I haven't seen Apocalypse. Apocalypse is one that I would like to see. Most of them tend to be villains. I think I'm coming up with are probably going to be villains, because, I mean, I'd like to see, like,
one villain
Ultron.
Made this list.
Only one villain made the list. Okay, well, I'm going to assume that they think it's wrong that Ant-Man hasn't been on a movie. I honestly don't care. The Falcon, probably on there. Maybe Black Panther. Knowing them, they'd combine them to be the same character.
Well, Falcon's going to be in Cap, too, actually.
Well, yeah, I didn't know, like, when this, or, like, how recent this was. God, what other tier, like, no, I got nothing. You got to go through this. I cannot think of.
All right. At number 10 on the list was the only villain, Ultron. Which,
really?
You got to figure they're saving him for an Avengers movie, probably.
Probably, I mean, especially if they're leading into, well, Ant-Man's coming out of Avengers 2, right? Like, he's coming out after Avengers 2. So, I mean, Ultron could be Avengers 3. Because I remember the Avengers, the one storyline from the Heroes Reborn, where you had, like, you had Henry Pym build Ultron. And then, like, every other issue, Ultron would come back as, like, I'm Ultron 2 now. Oh, I'm Ultron 3, and eventually just getting more and more sinister looking. So I could see Ant-Man making a couple cameos in other people's movies and having, like, Ultron 2, getting more and more evil leading up to.
That'd be kind of cool.
So what's number 9?
Number 9, well, I don't think Diana wrote this list, because he'd be number 1, but Nova.
Nova?
Really? Rumor has it the Nova Corps may be in Guardians of the Galaxy, so we'll see, I guess.
In Brightest Day and No Wait, Wrong One.
Well, Kat's not familiar, but the Nova origin is very similar to the Hal Jordan Green Lantern origin. Like, he gets zapped by a dying race and all of a sudden has these powers. Much
already
like Hal getting the ring.
Aww.
Number 8, the Wasp.
Again, not a character that has enough depth for me to care about.
Yeah, me neither.
Secondary character in Avengers 2, fine. Like, it's the same way that Hawkeye doesn't deserve his own movie, but as a supporting character, I suppose he's fine. But you really have to introduce the audience to the idea of Pym particles, first of all. Like,
yeah. Maybe Avengers 3?
Maybe. Well, you could introduce Janet in the Ant-Man movie, like, as the love interest. And then deleted, or like, scene after the credits.
She gets her wasp
powers. Her wasp powers.
All right. Number 7, the She-Hulk.
No, because we can't even get a good Hulk movie going. Like, I mean, at that point, why don't we just go all out and just have, like, Doc Samson and She-Hulk and the Hulkbusters, like...
Can the Hulk dogs come back?
No.
No.
No. No.
Or Nick Nolte. Because,
yeah, well, wasn't he one of the Hulk dogs?
I don't remember what.
No, I was going to say, he just looked enough like one of
them. Did he make the Hulk dogs?
He did make the Hulk dogs, because he also was, like... There was just a lot of bad.
Was he Banner's dad in that? I don't even remember.
I thought he was his, like, mentor. He might have been his dad, too.
I saw it once when it came out, and it was traumatic.
Yep. Yep. Sorry, Eric Bana, but no.
All right, number six, they have Iron Fist. And they,
I guess.
It was rumored they were going to make a movie with Ray Park as Iron Fist years ago.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you could do a Heroes for Hire kind of thing. Like, if you've got... Mark Ruffalo signed on for a bunch of movies. Like, Hulk was on the Heroes for Hire for a bunch of time. So, yep. Hey, there you go. Hulk, Iron Fist, Luke Cage. Like, go for it. If you're going to make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, you can't say no to Heroes for Hire.
True. Which is ironic, because number five was Luke Cage. What did you think about all the rumors swirling around that they want The Rock to play Luke Cage?
That would be fine. I mean, like, he would do
enough,
a good job.
Yeah.
He's also black. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
When you think of badass black actors, I mean, it goes like Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock, and then after a little bit more thought, you're like, Will Smith?
Okay. As long as it's not the yellow shirt and tiara days of Luke Cage.
Oh, no, but that's what I want. Like, I want to see, like... Because, come
yellow
on,
blouse.
You know it's not the most ridiculous thing that The Rock has ever worn.
Oh, I know. He wasn't Be Cool.
And then, you could have, if Luke Cage is in the movies, you can have a crossover with the Fast and Furious franchise. Fast and Furious 7 versus Avengers 3.
Didn't he have a big chain belt, too, back then?
I think so. Well, no, like, I mean, Luke Cage is a good character. Like, I mean, he's married, he has a daughter, he's a family man. Like, that's a character you don't see, especially in the Avengers, too. I mean, like, if you look at all the Avengers that they've got in the movies right now, none of them are family people.
Nope.
Steve Rogers' family's dead. Tony Stark's got romantic love interest and Pepper Potts. I mean, himself, but...
Right.
Thor, I mean, he's got a family, but they're not really, like, relatable family values kind of characters.
True.
Like, hey, honey, did you want to go get tacos? Sure, let's jump on the Rainbow Bridge and warp over to the mortal realm. Like, yeah.
Man. Number four, they had Miss Marvel. I don't really see a Miss Marvel movie ever happening.
Ah, but there you get another crossover in with the X-Men. Hire Anna Paquin to come in as Rogue. Oh,
true.
But, I don't know, I could see it. You'll have a hard time convincing regular audiences why she's not just Superman meets Wonder Woman in Marvel.
Right.
Like, and, I mean, that's the thing. How do you explain those powers?
True.
And, like, she flies. She's invulnerable. She has super strength. Like, you're going to have a bunch of people that are just like, so she, super Wonder Woman.
Number three is Cable. X-Men character.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I think he would come in if they ever did an X-Men movie with Apocalypse, because he's very much tied into the mythology of Apocalypse.
Right.
Right? But, I mean, as long as, well... I don't know how you put Cable in an X-Men movie if Scott Summers is dead and Jean Grey's dead. There's no baby. Like,
yeah,
you kind of need a baby from the two of them to have a Cable. Unless you bring in Mr. Sinister, because, I mean, Mr. Sinister also very much tied to Cable in that, too. But again, right. You need Cyclops and Jean Grey there, like.
Number two is Namor the Submariner.
I could have seen him in a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think it probably would have been... I think it would have been more interesting to have him instead of Galactus.
Oh, probably.
In the second one. I think it would have been really neat to see, like an Atlantis kind of attacks kind of thing. And I think it'll be a race between Marvel and DC to get out Aquaman in a movie or Namor in a movie. Because, again, those are two characters that as soon as you have one out, for mainstream audiences, they're just going to look at it as the same character.
Oh, Kath would be excited with a movie of either one, wouldn't you, buddy?
Who would you have play Namor, though?
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew Moore?
He wants his shirt off all the time anyway. Namor doesn't wear a shirt.
Namor.
Michael Phelps as
Namor. I have to think about it. Like, can Zachary Quinto play him, too?
That's what I was totally thinking. I'm like, wow, he's already kind of...
He kind of looks Spockish.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have pointy ears, too.
Yeah.
But then you're going to just have people going, why Spock swimming?
True.
Why does he have wings on his feet? And why is he talking about a Tyrannosaurus Rex all the time?
All right, you want to make a guess at what number one was on the Marvel characters?
I'm then going to assume... that Deadpool's there?
No, it is not Deadpool.
Oh.
Well, he's actually kind of sort of been in a movie already.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I guess that's the cop-out that means he can't be on the list. All right, who's number one?
Well, you did mention this earlier, the Black Panther.
Okay. See, Black Panther I like. I mean, I think it's a nice, like, positive character that you get some neat stories out of. I mean... harder to do with a standalone movie. I think you get this, like, Crocodile Dundee or Coming to America thing out of it, because I think to make it relatable to a more mainstream audience, you'd have to take him out of the the Wakandan setting and put him into...
A fish out of water?
Yes.
Oh, we're not talking about Namor anymore, so that's not as funny.
I'd rather see him in Avengers 2 than Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, to be honest.
I would actually rather see him in a Captain America movie first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think, his main because apparently, his dad knew Captain America or something, I think, in one version or another.
I think so, yeah. Oh, in the Ultimates cartoons, in the DVD animated.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the other option is putting him in with the Fantastic Four. Because he's had a bunch of stories. Like, he did a bunch of stories with them.
Yeah, I think he debuted in their comic, actually.
Because, going back to the Heroes Reborn again. Because I think this is, like, Ultimate Universe and Heroes Reborn, you're going to get a lot of the movie storylines because they're just shorter arcs, right? And it's a lot easier to reintroduce characters.
They adapt a lot of the stuff in the Ultimates.
Like, in that, more or less, like, first six issues of the Fantastic Four, it was Fantastic Four, get their powers... they meet S.H.I.E.L.D., the Avengers, and then they go to Wakanda to investigate the Silver Surfer having crashed there and meet Doctor Doom there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a lot of the characters coming together, and I could definitely see a story where you get the Fantastic Four go to Wakanda, meet Black Panther, and fight Doc Doom, and then at the end of that movie, you could bring in the Silver Surfer, or you bring in the Skrulls or something, like...
Will they have him married to Halle Berry in the movies, though?
Well, I keep looking for crossover stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, you bring in somebody that's willing to bite the bullet and kiss Halle Berry, and have a Halle Berry and, we'll say Will Smith as T'Challa.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a quick break, and then we can get into some of our reviews, where even Kathy will be involved.
I know, right?
Oh, before we actually take a break, thoughts on the Winter Soldier that's been...
I have not seen it yet.
Okay. They've shown pictures of him finally on the set, in costume, it looks pretty decent. That's my thoughts and my own humble opinion. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back with some reviews.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
Welcome back to the We Got the Geek comic book panel. Returning is Hunter. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
So let's talk comics. What do you want to start with?
Can we start with the depression that is Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't read that one.
Like, what the hell is going on?
I don't know. Like, I had high hopes for that series, and I'm not digging it now.
It is becoming the steamiest of steaming piles. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they know what story they want to tell.
I don't either.
Because it's like, okay, we started with this post-apocalyptic Age of Ultron. And then now we're going back in time. And then forward in time. And now we're going to an alternate universe. And now, whoa, Morgan Le Fay's here.
There's two issues left. I get the feeling this story's not going to end.
Already told you how it's going to end.
Oh, did they?
Tony Stark said it word for word in this issue that I bet is how it ends. Because he said to Wolverine, if Reed Richards and I had sat down, we would have designed something to go off later on to mess with Ultron right at the moment his plan was supposed to go off. And I bet you that's what happens. I bet you new future alternate universe Tony Stark and Wolverine are going to come up with this idea, go back in time, because the cover of the next issue, they've shown Wolverine stabbing himself.
Yeah.
So I think they go back in time to prevent Wolverine from killing
Henry Pym
and setting up this, like, Trojan horse or whatever it is that stops Ultron right at the point he would have taken over so that nothing in the Marvel Universe has changed. I read that page, and I'm like, okay, that's how they end the series.
There's a lot to cram in, then, if there's, like, two issues left.
No, there really isn't. You just have next issue is this fight with Morgan Le Fay, and towards the end of that, you get Wolverine that convinces Tony Stark, see, I'm not part of this. Let's go back in time and fix it. Tony Stark going, okay, and then the last issue is them fixing it and the resolution. Probably because it's the way these resets work, one person remembers.
Oh, jeez.
And can tell everybody else. But, yeah, no, I'm not. They've been so scatterbrained, there's been no rhyme or reason or purpose. I mean, I liked the issue where they actually go back and kill Henry Pym. I thought that it was a really nice issue, and you deal with the moral quandary of having the two opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of Marvel's morality of, like, the squeaky clean mom public image superhero to the I will do whatever it takes hero. And I thought those exchanges were really good, and I thought that was really nice. And if that was the focus of the story, would have been fine. But we've gotten so much bullshit.
Yeah, there's been two issues since then. And the Death of Henry Pym issue, spoiler alert, was the last issue I enjoyed.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, there's been two issues since then. It's been really, like, oh, with Henry Pym dead, like, all the Avengers gave up. And
yeah.
Because, I mean, I get it. Like, it's neat that they go, like, oh, yeah, we have security footage of you killing him, and that's why the Avengers quit. We thought it was a Skrull. Like, we had no way of being able to tell who the hell did this for so long.
Right.
But it's like you're not telling the right, like, one story. You're telling the time travel morality story. You're telling the world in the future with Ultron in charge story. You're telling the world further in the future with Ultron in charge story. You're telling the alternate world if Henry Pym died story. Like,
yeah, Age of Ultron. There hasn't been Ultron for the last three issues.
Yeah, because I think the last time Ultron showed up was when Iron Man, Nick Fury, and all those guys went into the future and saw, like, future Ultron.
Right.
That was the last time we've seen him.
I don't know. It's just gotten to be a drag-ery.
It's been really disappointing. I mean, this is not one that I've liked. So.
No, me neither.
Nope, you screwed it up, Marvel.
Yeah. What else did you read, man?
Read Superior Spider-Man number 10.
I mean, yeah, I was behind. I guess because you haven't been on, I haven't wanted to read it.
Oh, fair enough.
So I had yesterday I read issue 9 and issue 10 in one sitting.
Okay. Yeah, issue 9 was interesting. Like, the internal struggle between Doc Ock and the memories of Peter Parker. And
yeah.
I really like the ending to that, where you've just got a Peter Parker still in his head. So I think that's their possible buyout, is he's technically still there.
Yeah.
But with no memory. Like, he doesn't even remember his last name.
Yeah, that was sad.
But now,
like, when he couldn't remember his uncle, that got to me.
Oh, that was brutal. Like, rip at your heartstrings.
Yes.
And then the next issue, you've got Free Doc Ock. Actually reflecting on the fact that it's like, this is a lot harder without access to all of Parker's memories. Like, yep. He's saying shit like, toodaloo.
Yeah.
And, like,
what would Peter say to Mary Jane? Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. And now he's getting he's getting more arrogant, because I like the fact that without these memories, he now doesn't have that past to reflect back on. Like, a lot of it for him being superior was, ha, this is how Parker did everything. I can now remember this, and now I can change it going forward. Well, without those memories, he's just got his arrogance left, right? So you've got the new recurrence of a villain that had been teased a couple issues before showing up and, like, circumventing his spider network. So it's really nice. Yeah. And I think it's good. I want to see this bite him in the ass.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if he's got to lose something to make him realize that he's getting fucked up. And I wonder if it's this romance with Midget Scientist. So... But apparently, like, he's, like, days away from finishing his doctorate, so, hey, PhD Dr. Parker soon.
Wow. Hey, I wanted to ask your opinion. I just read that the Scarlet Spider is going to have a crossover with the new Superior Team-Up, which is coming out later this summer. And when I was reading the story, I forgot that back in the 90s, Kane, Scarlet Spider, killed Doc Ock.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to be awesome.
Well, yeah, you've got a one, yeah, because you've got, on the one hand, somebody that knows all the memories, and how do you bullshit without the memories to somebody that has all your own memories?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's going to be a drag-out brawl.
Yeah.
But there still hasn't been any big event like was teased in the one... Future Foundation show up, or the time travel guys are like, oh my god, he does something really horrendous and we can't stop it because it has nothing to do with time travel. So I'm waiting for that shoe to drop.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how Kane and him interact. I would like to see him also interact with Venom.
Yeah.
Because there's Flash Thompson and the symbiote both have a huge history with Peter Parker. And I don't know if you caught it in the back of that, but there's a tease to an issue series starting called Superior Carnage.
I saw that, yeah. And
so, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't even, like...
Yeah, there's Superior Carnage and the Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's all the joke foes of Spider-Man, basically.
Well, I get the feeling that it's going to be a lot of the people... I think it might be the villain that's been gathering... people.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be gathering his own, like, team.
I can't wait to see that fight.
It'll definitely be interesting. Because you've got two of Spider-Man's, like, main villains, more or less. So, I get the feeling you're going to get, like, I was Spider-Man's number one villain. No, I was Spider-Man's number one villain. Oh, really? Then why am I Spider-Man now? So,
yeah,
like, there's a lot of stuff still to come that I want to see out of this storyline.
Yeah, definitely. I hope it goes on for at least another year before the new movie.
And you get more movement on the one storyline of Parker's ex-roommate following up with him not being Spider-Man anymore, right? Where the cops are even covering up for him, and I love that. Like, before, the cops would love to just whatever with Spider-Man. Like, they do... They'd be like, oh, it's Spider-Man. Like, I guess we have to catch him. But these guys are like, nope. I love what he's doing.
Yeah.
I do respect that some of the cops are like, oh, he used to be funnier, and I miss his little notes.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious that his biggest fan is J. Jonah Jameson.
I think it's great.
Oh, man. Cool.
Yeah, no, it's a good series. I'm looking forward to more and more of it. So.
Definitely. Yeah. Kath is currently in the middle of avenging Spider-Man.
Almost done.
Which you also read last month's issue. Mm-hmm. Now, this is your first experience with Doc Ock Spider-Man. Like, what are your thoughts here?
I'm confused. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay.
I did get a chance to read Green Lantern number 20.
Okay. Geoff Johns' final issue.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
End of an era.
On the one hand, I mean, that's a great final issue. Like, he brought back everything.
Yep.
Like, from the first two pages where you get the entire history of Hal Jordan... to bringing back all the core and bringing back every Green Lantern, like human Green Lantern that we've had, and a lot of the major characters. But at the same time, I mean, I have to sit there and go, that is a great end to Green Lantern. But you know they're going to keep writing Green Lantern stories.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the series is going on without him.
So... at the one point, like, he literally sat down on the last three pages and went, here's what happens to everybody after I leave.
Dude, I love that, man.
I love it too, but my problem is going to be if you keep writing it, either one, you're going to just completely disavow what he's just written there.
Yeah.
And have them go different directions, which I don't like. Or two, you have them go in those exact directions, but there's no mystery left, because we know where they end up. You can't ever... like, oh, Hal Jordan's dead, but no, I know he ends up with Carol. Like, I mean, there's no... so there's the two ways that... and no way I can see going from here doesn't screw it up. Like, the only character whose story going forward is open-ended enough is Simon Baz.
Oh, okay.
No, because Sinestro's the guy at the end.
Oh, right.
So even Sinestro, I think, is wrapped up there. Like, you don't have anything left. If you told me they were never writing a Green Lantern story again, I think I'd be happy with that as the last issue. But there's no way. And I have a feeling that that's going to be the problem, is he wrote a great finale.
Yeah.
That's going to get just curb stomped by whatever comes next.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens next.
If you look at the history of Green Lantern and where the bad, like, the buildup of bad guys, I mean, you started with the concept of being afraid of fear itself. Having that manifest into its own Green Lantern core to oppose you. Going into five more cores with Dead Lantern, like, having your main hero become that big villain.
Yeah.
And having to redeem himself. And now bringing that all around to having the very first Lantern be your last villain. That is a nice cyclical story that's very closed.
Yeah.
So I think anything they do from here with those characters is just terrible. I don't see how you do it in a way that respects everything that's come before, especially that ending. And I'm really sorry Bulmer's not here, because I would love to have heard what his opinion on the issue and what he thinks going forward is going to be. So he needs to sound off in the comments when this finally gets posted.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is the comic book of the year for me so far, man.
Yeah, and I hadn't really been following a lot of Green Lantern. Like, I knew a lot of what had happened since the New 52, with, like, Sinestro had been, like, running around the Green Lantern Corps. He made Hal Jordan's ring, and then Hal got his own ring back. And
I see where you're coming from. I hope they don't screw it up after this. But I was reading Green Lantern long before Geoff Johns took over.
Oh, yeah. A lot of series, when somebody leaves, they're still done in a way that the story's going to continue. I mean, this was very much... here's what, like, it's the end of Animal House, where you get, like, the little thing at the bottom that tells you everything that they did after the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to see another Animal House movie. I know what happens to all of them. If you do another one, I don't care. It's.
I hear you. 9 years on this title, though, man. Like, before he took over, Hal Jordan was dead. No one gave a crap about him anymore.
Yep.
So I
love the little looks into the future. Like, I love Guy Gardner.
Oh, that's the best. The one punch thing?
Yeah. Well, the one punch, and he's just hanging out in space bars. Like, that's exactly what I expect from that guy to be doing.
Yeah.
And I like the wrap-up to Hal Jordan. And mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, like, I think Simon Baz is the only one that they left it open-ended enough. Like, there was a, like, he's going to have a confrontation with this person and teach her the meaning of friendship or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see that as being the next direction. They don't really tell you where he ends up. So, I'm wondering if that's what they're doing is, like, let's retire these other four lanterns. Make the story about him and him alone. We can have the other ones show up for guest shots in, like, JLA events or whatever crossovers. But they're not the focus of our story now. Which could be fine.
I hope so. I hope so. Or this might be another one I'm canceling. So
it's one of those that you've got a couple issues to prove that you're doing something relevant.
Yeah.
So I think I will check out 21 just to see what the new person does, but...
Definitely.
Even as a standalone issue, I would say that it is a good... If you ever liked the idea of Green Lantern and wanted to get a singleton Green Lantern story, I think it's a good one.
Definitely. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to review the X-Men issue 1 with the X-Men ladies. So we'll be right back after
There's
this.
Not even 12 of them for a calendar.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics now has everything you need to get the party started. Our goal is to make it simple for you by providing a unique and innovative party space. Ample space, seating for up to 30 people, arcade cabinets and board games, and special appearances by superhero or sci-fi characters to make your event an absolute success. Various packages available from simple rental to the space to a fully featured epic party. Come see us at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls. Call us at 905-353-0666 or visit us at www.pulpcomics.ca.
All right, we are back. Sitting here in the studio with K2 and Hunter. Hey, kids.
We're here.
Hi, K2.
Hi, Hunter.
So, let's move on to X-Men issue 1. What volume of this did you
volume say? Volume 4.
Volume 4.
Yep.
Written by Brian Wood, and the artist is Oliver Copiel.
Yeah, something like that.
Amazing artist. I've followed his work for a few years.
The art in this is beautiful, I will say that. Even Mohawk Storm.
I was going to say, this is the first time I've ever read a Jubilee story, but that's not true. I read the DC versus Marvel where she fell in love with Tim Drake.
Oh, God. Yeah, Robin versus Jubilee. The fight no one cared
about
and
one.
We had to vote on anyway.
Have they given an explanation as to why Storm's back in the Mohawk? Because I haven't seen that one.
I don't care. I feel like Storm is such a two-dimensional character. I've never felt like she's had any real depth to her.
Right.
Like, it was just weather person with claustrophobia. Like, there's been some backstory, but it's usually tied to somebody else. Like, her backstory of her pickpocket days in Cairo was really a backstory for...
Professor X.
Professor X. So, right. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I was wondering.
No, I haven't seen her in any of the other X-Men series that I've been following.
I don't think I have either.
Like, I haven't seen her in All New X-Men, and I haven't seen her in the Uncanny X-Men with Cyclops' team that's been running around. So, no, I have no idea how she's been doing. I didn't even know Psylocke could shoot a psychic bow and arrow.
So now you do.
Now I do.
They have Rogue there and Kitty Pryde.
Which is funny, because now Rogue is the Wolverine of this team, doubling between here and the Avengers.
Yeah. So, K2, this might be the first X-Men comic you ever read, correct?
It is.
And
it did not follow along with the movie.
No. No. So basically, Jubilee has a kid in a duffel bag.
Yep.
And she's being followed.
Stored it safely in the overhead compartment on her flight to New York. Well, see, I'm curious, just because I know that Kath has only read a few X-Men comics, what did you think of any of the stuff with the guy that surrendered himself?
I didn't know what I read. I gotta read it again. Like, I gotta slow down and actually sit there and read it.
Well, this is what I thought of when I looked at this. For an issue one, they made this as hard as possible to get into and follow.
So I'm not just dumb.
No. And I think I had the same problem with the Uncanny X-Men when Cyclops' team started up, where I said that they just made it really hard. Like, if this is an issue one, you look at this as this is something a lot of people that have never read your comic are going to sit down and try and read. And they are not making it easy in any of these X titles to follow along. And
yeah, number
like, jump
one should
on.
Be a jumping on point. And
yeah,
I'm like...
Like, I mean, especially if you want this to be an all-new team, introduce us to the characters.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell are these people? Why does that girl fly? Oh my god, why is the other girl moving through a train?
Like my understanding of the X-Men is from the movies.
Yeah.
So I had to understand who these people were from the movies.
Well, and I mean,
oh,
for
Storm's
you,
there.
You know who Storm is, but now she looks like a punk rocker.
Kitty Pryde.
You know who Kitty Pryde is if you watched the third one and liked Juno? Like,
and I don't want, like, I watched the third one when it came out. I haven't watched it again since.
I can't remember
what she did.
To you, Rogue didn't fly.
Yeah. Right.
So, and Asian Girl was not, like, there's no intro. And to me, reading this, I know who the villain is because he was from a storyline back in the early 2000s. Like, he is not a character that has shown up in, like, 7 years. And to have him show up and be all like, oh, yeah, I also have a sister who's going to try and kill us all. And I already know she's the baby.
Yeah, the creepy baby.
The creepy baby's his sister, as far as I can tell.
Baby.
Yeah, Electro baby. Like, hey, can I plug my baby into your USB port? Like, I need to sync.
I need to sync my baby.
What? But yeah, no, it's just a really awkward jumping on point. And Jubilee is not the character that I would have you follow if I said I was going to give you an all-female X-Men team and have you follow them from the start.
Yeah, I was really excited for the book because I'm like, oh, I've never read an X-Men before. So number one, it's an all-girl team, so I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand what I just read.
Yeah, it's very much
something with
like,
Electro Baby.
I missed 15 episodes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot. Like, I mean, the only one who gets any kind of backstory and introduction is Jubilee. But you have no idea. Like, she spends the entire first half of the issue going, I have to get to the X-Men. They're my home. But there's no, well, why?
Yeah.
Or, well, who are they to you? Like, why is it so important to get to them? Who are you? Like, Jubilee doesn't even use her powers.
No, she doesn't.
At all in this issue. So, as far as anybody knows, she's wearing a yellow raincoat and running around with a baby she stole. I looked at the first and went, did Jubilee get pregnant and had a baby in a bunch of issues that I had no idea? Like,
is it Juno's baby?
Psylocke and Marvel Girl, like Rachel, are sitting there having conversations, assuming everybody knows what the hell they're talking about because they're telepaths. I know just because I know the character that they're talking about, like the villain they're talking about. But, I mean, weird Electro baby causes a train crash and everybody seems okay with it. Like, nobody notices. It was just, hey, we're writing a really obtuse story, but we need an action scene.
Yeah.
Like, and even that's fine, because in a first issue, if you don't want to tell us who they all are or tell us what their powers are, I'm okay with that. I'm all above the show me, don't tell me. And this big train accident would have been a really good way for a bunch of their team to show off their powers. And it's like, okay, Kitty Pryde is phasing people out of the train to get them off. Like, that's how she's rescuing them. Or Storm is going to use summon a blizzard to try and, like, freeze the train and slow it down. Or that's how she stopped, because it's two trains crashing into each other. If Storm flies ahead and she freezes the other train in place, and that's how she stops it. And then Rogue's going to use her super strength and flying to stop this train. Like, show me those characters. Show me that's what they're about. It gives me a way of knowing their personalities. As Storm's the confident leader. Kitty Pryde's your, like, moral center. She's all, like, about helping people in that. And Rogue is the powerhouse. Like, she's the Hulk on this team. Like, she's going to be your heavy hitter on this team. She's the one that you're going to expect to see everybody fighting. But...
yeah, I don't care if I read an issue, too.
I'll go issue, too.
Okay.
Well, there's not even an explanation of who the hell Psylocke and Marvel Girl are. Like, they just show up, and you've got Psylocke standing on a roof being all Hawkeye, and, like, oh, get me, like, we need this guy locked in a room. Do you want to tell the audience why?
And Marvel Girl's the one from the past, right?
She's from the future.
Oh, is she?
She is an alternate universe.
Wait, there's time travel?
Oh, geez.
There's probably not going to be time travel just because she's been around for a while here. But no, she is the daughter of Cyclops and Jean Grey from an alternate future.
Oh, Rachel?
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's a cameo in there of Jean Grey from the all-new X-Men time travel.
I don't think so. I don't think I saw her.
Maybe I was asleep when I was reading it then.
I mean, oh yeah, you also got, like, you got them in the school, and there's a fight between two of the girls at the school, like...
they don't explain that.
There's no explanation, because the girls don't want to talk about it. So, okay, I guess. Yeah, no, I do not see...
I'm blind then.
Jean at all. So... I mean, you got a green blob with an X on his chest, that's cool, like... no context whatsoever.
Oh, that guy's from the old X-Force comic.
Oh, I know he is. Oh,
okay.
And you know, and I know that, but I just picked up this issue. Who are all these people? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's too much for any new reader, and I think that's part of the problem that they've had with all the X issues recently, is there's been too much with no setup for a new status quo. At least in all new X-Men, you had five characters who didn't know what the hell was going on. And as a reader in that, if you're just coming in, you can go, okay, they have no idea what's happening either. I'm going to learn with them what the hell is happening. Even if you have no idea what's been going on in the story, you can follow along with a young Cyclops coming to the future to find out that his future self has gone haywire and they're trying to fix it. Like, I can follow that and follow along with these people as they learn about the present. But this is, they're just throwing everything at you at once and hoping that you stick around. And I don't think they're going to work.
All right. Well, like K-Stu said, I think we're going to give it at least an issue two.
And yeah.
See what we think.
I'll give it a two.
It was a number two.
I Aww. Give it two X pinup girls out of five.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
But, I mean, like, and the other explanation, I guess, and they're not trying to make it a, like, oh, it's an all-female team. Like, I mean, like, why is this team together? Like, is there an explanation for why this is a team? Or did this just happen to be the five women on babysitting duty at the school while Cyclops is off being crazy and Wolverine's off fighting with the Avengers and nobody else happened to be around but all women? Like,
oh, yeah, I never thought of that.
Like, it's not even like they're an official team. Like, a lot of the other first issues of X-Men comics, and I'm thinking back to Joss Whedon taking the reins of Astonishing X-Men. Like, he created a new team. Like, he brought the characters in to be a new team. But he sat you down in that first issue and went, this is the reason this team is here. And this is the reason the individual people are here.
So yeah, an explanation would have been nice.
It just happened to... it just seemed to be like these were the five people that happened to be around, or five or six people that happened to be there. And I had read jokes going into this that it was all going to be the girls talking about romance issues and problems. And they're like, no, we're not going to use that female stereotype. no, we're going to give these women a baby. Oh, okay. Because clearly none of the male characters could have handled a baby showing up.
It would have been the Hangover.
Wolverine X-Men with a baby.
The Hangover. Great. Or three X-Men and a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, imagine like, Wolverine with a kid.
Wolverine. Cyclops as Sam Stallone. Or like... The Beast as Steve Guttenberg. And Wolverine as Tom Selleck.
Nice.
Oh, goodness.
Tom Selleck Wolverine.
Really?
But yeah, no, I just think there's a lot missing, and it just fell short.
Yeah, indeed. Did you read anything else?
I don't know if you read Masters of the Universe number 2.
I haven't caught issue 2 yet. I keep meaning to. Did you hear that they're doing a Masters of Universe versus DC Universe?
I did, and man, is that so one-sided. Like, oh, wow. Like, okay, I give He-Man a lot of props, but you know it's He-Man versus Superman, and there's no way he's winning that fight.
It ain't gonna be Batman.
Like, I get the feeling that it's like Man-at-Arms versus Batman.
Right.
And Teela versus Wonder Woman, because they're the girls.
Yeah.
And Superman, like, what do you do? Like, whoa, Merman versus Aquaman, or Mechaneck versus Plastic Man, because they can both stretch their necks.
Yeah.
No, I love in issue 2 of Masters of the Universe, like, they're on the run now from this invading army. And I love that there's just, like, this... There's this line in it that's like, really? Mechaneck made it? Like, all he does is stretch his neck. You couldn't have gotten me, like, any of these three guys with actual powers? Yeah.
Did He-Man get his new costume yet in that issue?
I don't think so. I didn't recognize it as a new costume.
You get a new costume coming.
Maybe he's going to visit the DC Universe to visit their tailor. Like,
I don't know.
No, I don't. I mean, I get it. It's your new franchise. Like, if this is a new comic series that you're trying to bring new readers in, the easiest way is probably to cross it over with existing ones and
yeah.
go, hey, did you like these characters here? Come, follow us. But.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So,
no,
yeah.
That's about it.
So, this show is going to air on Tuesday. Next weekend is the Niagara Falls Comic Con, which I know we're all looking forward to.
Yes.
So I know you're going to be there, I hope.
I will be there Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be at my lovely wife's Wasabi's table. We're going to be right inside the entrance on the left-hand side, a couple tables away from John Ballmer's, drawn by John.
We're going to be doing an interview with Kristen and with John Ballmer.
He and I were joking about just bringing Nerf guns and just shooting each other back and forth.
I know you're psyched to meet the Green Power Ranger.
I am psyched to meet the Green Power Ranger. And I would like to meet Adam West. I mean, like, it'd just be nice to be like, hey, you're Adam West.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're the Batman. You're the first Batman I ever knew.
Here.
Well, I mean, it was the growing up and, like, hey, will he get out of this giant mouse trap? Tune in tomorrow, same day. And there are some wacky fucking schemes in that show. I want to talk to him about, like... The Riddler and the cake, and like, because there was a giant cake that the Riddler tricked him into standing on top of that was actually quicksand. Like,
okay, so when you were a kid, did you think quicksand was just everywhere?
Yes.
On cake, even
on cake.
There were just some like, and there were a lot of so many memorable villains. Like, I mean, there were memorable villains, memorable actors. I think it'd be neat to be like. What was it like working with all these guys all the time? Like, you got to work with Vincent Price.
Egghead.
Oh, man, Egghead was such a good villain.
I mean, no, I hear you. I used to run home from school every day and watch it in reruns.
Oh, man, I'd hate it if I had missed, like, the next episode. Like, if it's like, oh, my God, they're gonna die! No, I missed it. Totally. What didn't happen? There was, like, one three-parter that threw me the hell off.
Oh, okay.
It was like a three-parter with the Penguin, and somehow he had used a giant magnet to capture Batman and Robin when they were in suits of armor and dropped them into a trash compactor.
I missed that one.
But yeah, that was my, and that was how I grew up with Batman, so like, that Alfred was like the first Alfred.
Oh, yeah. And the Joker who refused to shave his mustache off.
And I never noticed it, like, until I found out.
Yeah.
And now, looking really closely at pictures, you can see it, but man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did not. Yeah. So he'll be, like, I can't wait to see him. I mean.
Lou Ferrigno, too.
Lou Ferrigno will be there. I just don't want to ask him about the Hulk. I want to ask him, like, oh, how was it being on King of Queens?
That's what you want to ask him.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And isn't he on Adventure Time, too?
Is he really?
I'm not sure on that.
Okay.
I thought he was the voice of
one of them. It sounded like him.
But.
Well, because he's also still doing the voice of the Hulk, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's still doing.
Puny God, that was him.
Yep. So good for him. He's got voiceover work from now until he dies.
Hey, I'd be happy if I can get voiceover work.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, man.
Well, it's like Kevin Conroy. Doing Batman voices. He's just been signed on to do the next Batman video game.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
So, good for him. He has made a lifetime about being Batman. There was a San Diego Comic-Con panel, I think I remember, where they had a bunch of voice actors reading the script of Star Wars A New Hope.
Really?
So you had Kevin Conroy as the narrator. So Batman was the narrator. You had, like, the guy who played, like, Bender on Futurama. You got the girl who did a bunch of the Powerpuff Girl voices and who was voicing, like, some of the My Little Ponies. Like, she was being, like, Leia. She actually voiced Grand Moff Tarkin in one scene. It's a great one to sit down, like, and listen to all the different voice actors, because as they go on, they just start doing impersonations. Like, Christopher Walken as Han Solo. Like...
But, funny because it's true.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just want my picture taken with a Batcopter.
You better bring your bat shark repellent.
Yep. Fake rubber shark.
So does that mean that next year we get the bat boat?
Oh, maybe.
Because we had the Batmobile last year. We got the Batcopter this year. We need the bat boat.
Copter with the, or the motorcycle with the sidecar for Robin.
One last funny tidbit I read about was that NBC was actually going to buy the Batman show from ABC.
Oh, yeah?
They were going to have it go on for, because it ended after the third season.
Yeah, the Batgirl season.
And NBC was going to buy it, and apparently by the time they had put their bid in, they had already ABC had already destroyed the Batcave set.
Wow.
And it was going to cost like $1 million to rebuild it. And NBC's like, no, we didn't want to spend that much money. Because they were just going to buy like sets and all. They were just going to pay ABC, like, we're going to use your lots to film it. You've already got all the sets set up and we're going to keep going with it. But.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
So I'll ask Adam West if he stole like a bat computer or a bat sonar or anything like that. To have in his house.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Bat electrolysis machine. Bat foot spa.
It could happen. You don't know.
Or I want to know how far down those poles went. Like, when they, like, slide down to go into the Batcave. I want to know how far they went down. Like, did they only go, like, half a foot and you had to, like, crouch after you got to the bottom of the pole?
So, if Adam West would have gone down the pole that said Dick Grayson, would he have been in the Robin suit? Like, I don't understand.
No, because the only thing I'm thinking is they, like, stop in, like, the basement of the mansion, change outfits, and then keep sliding down the rest of the way. Like, there's just, like, a wardrobe down there.
Right. I always found it funny that they had their names on each of the bat poles.
Yeah. Like, there's no denying it at that point. Like, if somebody accidentally finds it, I had no idea that was there! It's got your name on it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend next weekend.
It should be.
And I can't
everybody
wait.
Listening should come out.
Come on out. If you see us, say hello. We're going to have the recorder with us, so we'll get you on the air.
Right on.
All right, so that's going to wrap things up here on the comic panel. And thank you once again to Hunter for his return. And
my revenge?
Your revenge. Revenge will be mine.
Revenge of the Hunter or Return of the Hunter? Am I the honorable type or the...
I don't know. But thanks for being here again. And thanks for Kath for reading.
I tried.
She did. She gave it a whirl. It's not her bag. But we'll be back next time, so stay tuned for more episodes and have a great week.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.